Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Right, Pastor Pasmo Munga, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Brother Sam, and our listeners. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
We are doing very well.
Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. Glad that you were able to join us. Now, for many people in faith and spirituality are strong connected to their emotional well-being. They're very strongly connected to that. So according to a recent survey, about 60% of adults say that faith or spirituality is an important factor in supporting their mental wellness. However, just half of those who belong to a religious community say that mental health is discussed openly and without stigma. And so today, we want to focus on the impact of faith on emotional wellness, as well as the role of our churches in bearing one another's burdens. So, Pastor, what is the impact of faith on emotional wellness?
Thank you very much. I also based my contribution from current research. One of the impacts that is laid down by, showed, reviewed by research is that emotional wellness leads to better emotional regulation. It also offers hope and resilience, and it has been proved from research that prayer, meditation, and worship lowers stress and anxiety. Stress and anxiety is lowered through that emotional well-being, and it also improves the immune system. And it also improves the quality of sleep. And that is speaking coming from research. So when you talk about wealth or emotional, faith on emotional wellness, it improves emotional regulation, it improves your immune system, and also the quality of your sleep. Not forget, like we have said, prayer and meditation has been improved, that it can lower stress and anxiety, which is worrying.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, what are some misconceptions about emotional wellness or unwellness that are commonly held in the faith community?
Thank you very much for that question. One of the misconceptions is that strong faith, when you have strong faith, you should never feel sad or anxious or depressed. That is a misconception. Even when you are a believer, you're a strong believer, you can still feel sad, anxious, or depressed. The other misconception is that faith does not erase emotion. In other words, what we are saying is that faith does not remove emotions. Even when you are a Christian, even when you are a pastor, a deacon, or whoever you are, a believer, your emotions are still with you. The other misconception that we find is that faith, prayer and faith are enough. That is, seeking professional help shows a lack of trust in God. That is a misconception. So even after I have prayed someone and then you find that this person actually needs more professional help, there's nothing wrong for me as a pastor to tell this person that to tell a person or the family that this person seems showing some symptoms or signs of depression. So this person may need some psychotherapy. I'm not lacking faith by doing that. The other misconception is that Christians must always be joyful and positive. Whatever happens, you just have to laugh, you just have to be happy all the time. No, that is not true. And the other misconception is that forgiveness means forgetting and instantly feeling better. That is a misconception. Forgiveness needs time. Forgiveness has got stages. It has got steps. And they cannot be overlooked. The last thing I can mention on this one is that the other misconception is that faith guarantees freedom from emotional struggles. Faith guarantees freedom from emotional struggles. Yeah. That is not true. It is a misconception. I have written a book from struggles to strength. In the process, addressing the same issue on our emotional well-being from a Christian perspective. Faith does not guarantee that we shall have no emotional struggles. They are part and part of life, and they show that we are human beings with our emotions.
Yeah, that's true, by the way. Although if you do not forgive, of course, it's going to be weighing on you for a long time. I do believe that nobody should be rushed into forgiving. I think you're making a very powerful point there. Now, Pastor, what role do faith communities and churches play in supporting emotional well-being and providing social support?
The role that a church or faith community needs to have is to create a sense of belonging. That a church is a community. A community is a group of people who live together. I mean, a church is a family. So it should reduce loneliness. If I have got a challenge, I can count on Brother Zama. I can count on that one. It reduces loneliness. And also offering practical and emotional support. If someone has got a challenge, the church must come up to help that person in a very practical way. And providing spiritual resources for coping. People who are passing through some maybe depression, some stress, anxiety, we should offer those resources that we can spiritually. And also promoting health identity and self-worth. The fact that I belong to a community, when I've got an issue, there is somewhere where I can go to confide my issues to that community. So that role is also very critical. The church or the faith community should also reduce stigma around the struggles. The fact that someone is struggling does not mean that this person is a weak Christian. So we need to reduce the stigma around the struggles. Some people do not come up because they think that if I do this, maybe people start laughing at me, maybe they think that I've got less faith. No, we need to reduce the stigma around struggles. Struggles are normal, and people who are struggling must be accepted and must be helped.
Yeah. Now, how can our churches, you know, local churches, provide safe spaces for people to be vulnerable in times of distress? And I think, Pastor, it's very important that we answer this question because many people feel that churches are not a place to actually open up and be vulnerable in times of distress. So how can we create that environment?
My brother, that question is critical and it's life and death. The church need to, we need to cultivate a culture of compassion, not judgment. We need to develop that culture of compassion like Jesus, the Good Samaritan. He had compassion on this person. He could have judged him, say, what was he doing for him to be attacked and where does he come from? So the church needs to cultivate a culture of compassion and not judgment. Then we need to train leaders and church members on pastoral care to care for people who are struggling, whatever issues are there. We need to show concern. And when I talk about care here, there are people who may be doing things that we don't agree with, but they are our members. So to accept those people does not mean that we agree with what they are doing. So we leaders in our churches and also members need to be trained in pastoral care. The other thing is that we need to normalize testimonies and stories of struggle, meaning vulnerability at the top, cultivate vulnerability in the community. As a pastor, I need to be free to show people that it is normal that I also have got the struggles as an individual. And people should see that it's normal to share a testimony about the struggles that you are passing through. In other words, I need to be vulnerable. I've got a friend that I can go to. I tell them that I'm struggling as you see me here. I am a pastor, but I'm struggling in this area. And I need help, and I need it from you. Because there are certain times you cover yourself in a certain corner. What will people think about me? No, I need friends that I can confide my issues with. And then when we do that, people can come up, and they know that even when I say this, I will not be judged. I will accept as I am. But now that calls, that means we also have to ensure confidentiality and trust. That when I confide this thing with you, this issue with you, it will not be blown out. In other words, we need to create supportive small groups. Because at times it may not be easy for someone to talk to a big church about the issues, but there should be small groups. There is a group or a community here, maybe 5 or 6 people, like we have got our Sabbath school classes, even smaller classes, where people can be free to share the burdens that they have.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor, before I let you go, do point out for us some practical things that Christians can do, you know, to bear one another's burdens. I mean, Galatians 6 verse 2 says that we should bear each other's burdens. But what's the practical way to do it, particularly in a culture where we are told to mind our own business? You know, we don't want people in our business, and people tend to suffer in silence, and men particularly end up hanging themselves.
Thank you. I'll share this because I was allowed by the person that I can share this.
Okay, all right.
I think I can say I became a pastor on a single day. The other times, I think I was just a religious leader or so. This lady came with a family. We discussed what we discussed. Then after we prayed, she told her children to go away. They left the office and remained the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then she asked me, Pastor, can you allow me to cry? I said, you can go ahead. And she cried and cried and cried. I cried and cried and cried. After some 5 minutes or so, she washed her face and she said, thank you. There's nothing that we talk. She just asked for a room. For a space to cry, to pour out her emotion. We need that. So we don't need the counselor. When you come to me, I have got this issue. This is not that old. I have to lecture you. No, you do to struggle. If these are the stages of no. You just need to listen. You just pour out yourself. I'm just listening quiet. After that, you go. And then it is done. I think those are some of the practical ways that we have to show others that they are real human beings, they are also real human beings. It's not always lecturing to people. We can at times just offer a listening ear. Close everything. Close my phone, everything around chat. Just listening to the struggle that people are passing through. I think that is a practical way I can share.
Yeah. Men, it's a very important thing that people have got to let out their emotions and allowed space to do that. I think I love what you're saying, Pastor, because sometimes we bottle a lot, of our emotions to the extent that it becomes detrimental even to our well-being. Thank you so much for that experience. How would you wrap up this conversation today?
In the first place, adding to the sermon testimony that I shared, I've always resisted the temptation to address people as a pastor. I address them as an individual who is struggling the way they are struggling. So we are all on the same level. Your struggles are my struggles. There's no one who is on top of the mountain. We are all down there. And down there, we are a family like that verse that you mentioned. We need to bear each other's burdens. The pastor's got burdens. The member has got burden, but when we hold hands, the burden becomes lighter. And Jesus is at the center of it all.
Man, Pastor, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to have you, and blessings to you, and have a fantastic afternoon ahead.
Same to you, my brother, and our listeners. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.